This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. In this message entitled, How Does God See Me?, Pastor Scott discusses the differences between how we see ourselves in our lives and how God looks at us. This message was delivered on July 16th, 2017. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Amen. Would you thank Jaywin? Love you. Thank you. Go ahead, ushers. We do so many fun things here at church, I tell you. It's not like the church back in the 70s and 80s where you guys would just all stay silent and no clapping, no hands in the air. I went to church back in the 80s, and then I stopped. And then when I went back 20-something years later, I was like, whoa, what happened? I'm crackling again, yeah? Test, okay. Well, maybe it's good, but maybe it's the enemy trying to stop me from speaking. How's that? You know, today, as you know, we're in this series now, and we've been using the movie The Shack to kind of help illustrate the messages. And this morning's title is, How Does God See Me? You know, sometimes in the morning, I get up and I look in the mirror like, oh my God, you look like, use your imagination. You know, I don't know what you guys are thinking, huh? And for me, when I was growing up, when I was in, you know, when you're in elementary school, middle school, and high school, and you know, every time you got to go take pictures, they always put you in the front because you're the shortest. And even to this day, when we do men's ministry, the short guys got to go stand in the front. And it's like, so for years, I was just really, really unhappy with my appearance. And, you know, I got two older brothers, and a lot of people say that they're better looking than me, which, well, it is what it is, right? And I look at my two older brothers now. They're taller than me. They're older than me. But I got more white hair. And I for years, I couldn't understand. And I was like, God, what's up, man? And, you know, I just complained. And I didn't like the way God made me. You know, and as I matured as a Christian, I learned to be content with the way I look. And it wasn't about, you know, getting plastic surgery, trying to make me look more handsome or anything, because I don't think plastic surgery could have made me taller. I mean, I wish. I mean, I tell you, you know, when on Tuesdays we practice volleyball with our women's team, and when I hit the ball, the women jump over the net and they just roof me. Oh, and it's like, okay, God, thank you. I needed to be humbled. I accept that. But sometimes when they do that in front of everybody, wow, it's like brutal. Just let me hit the ball once, you know? And, you know, all those things didn't change. And as I matured, I've kind of learned that, okay, God made me this way. And someone once told me, like, I am so happy that God made you short, because you are so easy to come and talk to. I guess if I was 6'2" and 280, nobody would want to come talk to me because I might be intimidating. But you look at me, 5'3", and you know, now I'm down to about 140. I'm not intimidating at all, right? Nobody's afraid to come and talk to me. So I say, okay, I'm kind of, you know, I understand. And you know, I'm happy that now that I'm this height, because when I'm right on the airplane, I mean, every seat is first class. I can stretch my feet out. And when I see those 6 feet tall guys next to me with their knees up in their chest, I go, ha, 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 yeah. It was rough, you know. You know, how many of you remember growing up, they made that song about short people? Yeah? Oh, man, that was so bad. Short people got, like, nobody, and like, it was tough. And maybe you look at yourself and you feel like, wow, I'm not worthy to serve. Maybe your past is somewhat, you know, maybe you got in trouble, or maybe you've been incarcerated. We got people who were incarcerated and they love God, they're serving God, they're living a wonderful life. I mean, we got ex-alcoholics, ex-drug addicts. I mean, you may think your past may be like, oh, my past is so bad that I don't think God would even want me serving. But it doesn't matter what your past may be like. As I read the scriptures, I come to understand that God doesn't really care what I look like on the outside, like the world does, but God looks at our heart. In Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, he writes this. This is God speaking. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. And I think like, oh, thank God. Because if his thoughts were like my thoughts, half the people driving on the road would be toast. Yeah. Nor your ways my ways. Again, thank God, because everybody would be right off the road. Declares the Lord, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God sees so much more clearly than we do. His perspective is eternity. His understanding is unlimited. And for us, we will never fully grasp the realities at his work until we fully enter God's presence. Okay, this is not working right. Test. Whoa, watch out. So God's ways are so much more different than ours. He's thinking. He's seeing I'm trying to understand how God gets things done, because the way I think is so different. God's way of getting things done, he might cause pain in my life to turn me, but my thinking is just, you know, do it right the first time, but I don't. So that's why his ways are different, his ways are better. I mean, as Christians, we kind of gotta change our thinking and see and do things the way God sees them. And most of us were brought up in a worldly way. And at times it's hard to make that adjustment to think and to see and to do things the way God wants it. Now, as we come to church and we go to Bible studies, we can believe that changes will occur in our life. You know, it's called transformation or sanctification. Whether you think humbly of yourself or highly of yourself, God's ways are much better. And as we come to church, we gotta change our thinking. In Galatians 6:3, it says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. How many of you been there? Yeah, we think, I'm it, man. I am all that. All 5 feet, 3 of me. I am it. I was deceiving myself. Really deceiving myself. Or if you think of yourself like this in 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. And he said, is it enough now, O Lord? Take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. Elijah was so depressed, he didn't even think he was worth keeping around. He had just come from a great victory. He beat 450 prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And then after that, Jezebel threatened him, and he ran away. And he wanted to die. So whether you think you're all that, or you think, man, oh, I am not worth it, believe me, God sees you in a different way. Whatever situation you may be in, God sees it all. And as we get ready to watch this video clip from the movie The Shack, we're going to see the main character, Mac. He is invited into a garden. And to set up things, Mac has just gotten mad at Papa. And Papa is the lady who plays God. And he's angry. He seems that like he's had enough. He's out of the... How many of you did see the movie The Shack? Okay, so if you didn't, then you might kind of be wondering what's going on. Mac has tragedy happen in his life, and he's invited to this shack, and he encounters this trio, and now he's in conversation with them, and they're trying to lead him down a path of righteousness, even though something bad happened. But as we watch this, let's see what happens. Okay, well, maybe you guys got to go watch the movie. How many of you guys did go rent it last week after church? Nobody, because it was a very powerful movie. Well, anyway, in this scene, Mac enters this garden, and it's like flowers. It's like a very chaotic mess, he calls it. But all the flowers are blooming, and he calls it a beautiful mess. You know, it's like seeing things from a different perspective. When he looks at it, it's a mess, but it's also very beautiful. And sometimes I think God may see us that way. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, we, meaning you and I, are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things he planned for us long ago. When we get up in the morning, we may look in the mirror and we may see a mess. But what do you think God sees? God sees a masterpiece that he created. You know, when my wife takes off her makeup, I tell her, honey, you look so beautiful. You don't need makeup. But does she listen to me? No. I think if she listened to me, Mac would go out of business. Really, because I tell her, you look wonderful. You don't need makeup. The other morning, she was FaceTiming her sister, and she's like, oh, sorry, I don't have makeup. And I was thinking, like, there you go again. You don't need it. You know, and some of our young high school girls who just graduated, you look at them, they're so pretty, and yet they still put on makeup. They don't need it. You are God's masterpiece. God loves you just like that. I think God sees us in that same light, like a beautiful mess. I mean, I can look at my life and say, yeah, oh, Scott, you're a beautiful mess. You're messy. But yet, the way I created you, you are beautiful. And as I come to know God and think like him, the more I become content with the way that I am. You know, sometimes we think, could my perspective of myself be wrong? And sometimes I think, yeah, definitely. Because the way I look at myself comes from a worldly perspective, the way the world wants us to look. And I think sometimes, a lot of times, my perspective is wrong. I think God may see us not as a mess, maybe, but as his masterpiece. In Genesis 1:27, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then in Genesis 1:31, God saw all that he made, and behold, it was very good. Not just good, but very good. I mean, despite the mess that we can often look like, God sees beauty in what he has created. You and I, God sees us as beauty. God sees us as very good. Not just good, very good. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, the new things have come. How do you think God wants to bring this beauty to bear? And I believe that the relationship we have with God will really change the way we look at things, the way we look at others, the way we look at ourselves. I believe the more that we connect with God, the better vision we'll have when we look in the mirror. Because when we look in the mirror, we're not going to see a 5'3" white-haired ball of mess, but I will see a 5'3" creation of God, who the Bible says is very good. Not in an arrogant, proud way, but in a way that says, wow, God, thank you so much. Because I am created in his image. And I think that all comes down to the relationship we have with God. Because before my relationship with God, that's what I saw. A 5'3" ball of mess, alcoholic, drug addict, no good husband, bad father, everything. But the best driver in the world. Okay, you got that, right? And after I've come to know God, then everything changed. So, which brings us to point number two, you know, abiding in Christ. When we can be connected and be one with God, then we can see ourselves the way God sees us. Because sometimes we come down so hard on ourselves. Oh, I stumbled, or I made a mistake. I am no good. I cannot serve here because I did that, or I cannot serve here because I did this. And we come down on ourselves. You know, in the beginning, in the garden, the lie the serpent told Eve claimed that they didn't need God. That they could be like God if they wanted to. And that was wrong. They had a choice. That choice was to follow God or not. And they chose to swallow that lie the serpent gave them. And that drove the wedge between that perfect relationship they had. And now it's up to us to come back, to abide, to connect, to be a part of the vine and the branches. And when we connect and we do that, we can have a different vision of ourselves. Because without God, I believe we're going to have the wrong vision. Look at what happened when there was no king in Judges 21:25. In those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. And you remember back in the Old Testament, the Hebrews said, you know what? We want a human king. They rejected God as their king. I mean, could you imagine after all the miracles they've seen coming out of Egypt, now they said, oh, we want a human king instead of God as their king. They went from a perfect king to an imperfect human king who did terrible things. They rejected him. In the garden, we watched Mac and Sarayu discuss the very ideas as they worked together in the garden. As the movie continues beyond the clip, she tells him, you weren't meant to do any of that on your own. Sometimes we do life and we do it without God. We forget. I mean, I've tried that for many years. I tried doing life without God. It only ends in failure, hurt, and pain. And it took me 37 years to realize that. At least I say, at least I did it before 40. Right? Like the Hebrews, they wandered around the desert for 40 years. So at least I got 3 years on them. But have you ever viewed your relationship with God as a conversation between friends? He desires an organic living and breathing, a life-growing, changing relationship. It's a dialogue that we have with him. Jesus offered us this beautiful garden-related metaphor of what this relationship with God can be like. And I hope that is our desire. In John 15, 1-4, if you ever read John 15, it is a beautiful chapter, and he uses example of the vine and the branches and the gardener of how we can be connected to him. In John 15, this is Jesus speaking. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit unless it abides in the vine, so neither you unless you abide in me. You know, sometimes we look at this and we think of pruning, because we think of pruning, the pruning process, as painful. If you think of it from the plant's perspective, you know, when you cut something, it hurts. And sometimes we got to think that, well, in the context Jesus was using, does it hurt to cut off a dead branch? I mean, there is certainly a removal, but it's like clearing out of the old, taking away the dead stuff to make room for the new stuff. Pruning sometimes may be painful, but not always. I know as I matured in the Lord, I had to prune parts of my life which I thought might have been painful. I had to prune the constant beer drinking, which was, you know, 12-pack a day or so. I had to prune the cigarette smoking. I had to prune the cussing and the swearing. And it seemed painful, but it was a good thing. And if we can think of an example of pruning, how many of you cut your fingernails? Yeah, I mean, does it really hurt? No, but it prunes it so you can keep it clean, so you don't have to claw at everything. But that's what the pruning process is, making room. You cut your nail so that it can grow. And when it gets too long, I mean, when your fingernails get too long and you hit something and it bends backwards, ooh, what a feeling, yeah? Yeah, and that's why you cut your nails, right? I know some of you keep your baby finger long so you can, you know? But that's the regeneration process. You cut, you prune so that it can grow. And as we develop the relationship with God, we cut and we prune, we grow closer to him, we bear more fruit. And then, number three, we have a higher vision. God is inviting us to a true restorative relationship. And he writes it like this in Matthew 11:28-30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, God is trying to do something with us. He sees us in a different way. He wants us to see ourselves in a better way. And he wants to give us this higher vision. The New Testament Jews that he was speaking to would know what he was talking about because they were familiar with the yoke. And I'm not talking an egg yolk, okay? you know, the yoke would link two cows together so that they could pull. And Jesus is trying to yoke us with him because he's going to carry the load for us so that it'll be light. So if you're living life and you feel heavy and weighed down and you can't go, then I got to say, I'm sorry, you have the wrong yoke on. You're not having the yoke that Jesus tells us to put on. Because when we are yoked up with him, and when we trust him, he will carry the load. That's what he's saying here. Jesus' invitation is to share the load as he walks beside us, teaching us, guiding us with gentleness and comfort through pain and uncertainty in everyday life. See, we may not be able to see beyond the emotions and the circumstances, but we can cling to his hope. There is another great line in the movie The Shah, when Sarayu later says in the scene we watched, "Wild and wonderful and perfectly in process," she says, "magnificent." What a description could be of ourselves. This is how God may see us: wild and wonderful and perfectly in process. See, he created us as a masterpiece, and he is working in us. He is working in us daily. And as you read the word, it slowly transforms you and it changes you. But the thing is, will you allow him? Will you join him in the transformation that he wants to lead us on? Will we turn to him and allow him to align our hearts to his will? Will you experience the beauty he wants to nurture in our lives? His invitation is there for us. It's there. Will you take it? Because it's there. It's there. And it's a sad thing to say, many people won't. That's why there's more people out there than in here. And that's their choice. Because God loves us, he doesn't force us to accept him. He waits for us to invite him in. Amen. You may put away your notes. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And I am going to give you a chance to ask him, to invite him, to help transform your life. So as the worship team comes up, the rest of you in your seats, I'm going to ask that you would bow your head and close your eyes. And if you would like to invite Jesus in, your life may be a mess. You may think that your life is fine, but regardless, if you would want this relationship with Jesus, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes and pray with me this prayer. It goes like this: Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins, and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you. Anybody else? No shame. Anybody else out there? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands, the hearts. And I pray that we would be able to see ourselves how you see us. That we are your masterpiece, created for good works. And Lord, we know that you are not done yet. And some people like me need a lot of work. Some people may need not much work. But we all need work. And I pray that you would work in our lives to create us, to change us, to mold us into the people that you called us to be. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.